युक्ता कर्मकारिणा फले शक्तो विभज्यते. The steadily devoted soul attains unadulterated peace because he offers the result of all activities to me. Whereas a person who is not in union with the divine, who is greedy for the fruits of his labor, becomes entangled. We are reading this evening from Bhagavad Gita, third chapter, text number 12. Herein, Krishna is making a comparison between those who are in material consciousness and those who are in spiritual consciousness. The tendency of the soul, which is by nature dynamic, individualistic, and personal, is to have desire. As soon as the soul enters into any species of life, there is consciousness and there is desire. A dead body has no consciousness and no desire. And everyone in every species desires pleasure. In fact, is greedy for pleasure. Those who are in ignorance are greedy to achieve the pleasures of this body and mind. And we see within our society today, on the basis of this greed, how so much science, so much technology, so much development, so many incredible manifestations of man's creative potency is being manifested simply on the basis of trying to find more and more and more and more pleasure in this world. But yet is never satisfied. Hiranyakashipu, he was such a tremendous person on a material and mental level that he conquered the entire universe and yet was never satisfied. Acquisition of material facilities has never in history brought upon real satisfaction, nor will it ever. The reason can be philosophically understood because the soul, its constitutional position is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. And the bliss of the soul comes when it is reunited with Krishna, who is the reservoir of all pleasure. The pleasure of Krishna is unlimited, and it is our very nature to enjoy the pleasure of Krishna through the process of being enjoyed by Krishna. However, when we try to find a substitute in this world, it creates only frustration. And that is the source of all the problems within this entire material existence, that we are trying to find happiness without Krishna. We are trying to act against our own nature. Throughout the world, people are propagating natural foods, natural dress, natural lifestyle. Because as this world progresses, people are finding that to the degree we live in an unnatural way, we are not only polluting our own minds, we are polluting the entire ecology, we are polluting the entire atmosphere. And the longer we go, the more people have to suffer in this line of thought. So what is natural? Natural means to act according to our nature. And we are all spiritual by nature. Therefore, the greed for the things of this world is the source of all disharmony amongst human beings, individually, even little family members, materialistic children. how they fight. This is my toy. No, this is my toy. This is my plaything. No, this is my plaything. And they fight, and they even beat each other over greed of who is the proprietor. And then they get a little older. They never really grow up. Their body just gets a little older, and their intelligence becomes simply more complicated. And this, it's not that people grow up from this childish foolishness. They just become more complex in their childish foolishness as they become older. They become more sophisticated in their childish foolishness. And then in the business circles, somebody's saying, this is my money, this is, somebody else is saying, no, this is mine. And there's so much competition. And amongst the lawyers and amongst the architects, there's so much competition amongst everybody. And then on a broader broader level, nations are fighting like cats and dogs over whose land is whose. Srila Prabhupada compared that in some places they have dogs guarding their property. The dog is not thinking, I am guarding my master's property. The dog is thinking, this is my property. And if you come on his property, ruff, 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 he becomes very angry with you. Get away from here, this is mine. So Prabhupada found when he would go to different countries through immigrations, ruff, 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 this is my, what are you coming for? Why are you coming? Do you have your visa? So on and so forth. Everything is the property of God. But everyone is claiming proprietorship, and everyone wants the property of someone else. And that's why they're building big, big armies. What nation in the world does not have big, big armies? Every nation has their armies. Because they know if they do not, someone else will encroach, manipulate, and exploit them. The same childish foolishness of fighting over toys. They are fighting over land with bombs and guns and millions of soldiers. And what is the root cause of all of this agitation? That people are looking for pleasure of Krishna through developing more and more and more arrangements for happiness in this world. And it is impossible. Therefore, we must learn to be greedy for Krishna. It is the soul's nature to have greed. All these propensities that we find in man have their pure state in the soul. Because the soul is part of Krishna. And Krishna is the source of everything that exists. Nothing can exist in this world unless originally it is in God, who is janmadyacharyataha, him from whom everything emanates. But in God, everything is pure and all good. But when this, and in the soul, everything is pure and all good, being part of God. But when we forget our relationship with Krishna, those same tendencies become perverted and polluted. And instead of increasing our ecstasy and bliss, they increase our illusion and suffering. So Rupa Goswami has explained, if you want to give up the greed to try to artificially enjoy this world, you must become greedy for Krishna. You must have greed to serve Krishna, to love Krishna, to see Krishna, to serve Krishna. And that greed will purify your heart. When there is greed for something, you become possessed with that object of greed. When people in this world have a greed for money, what they will not do for money, how much they will work for money. In our society today, people work so hard, mudhas, Prabhupada said, like asses. The ass foams at the mouth working, carrying such big burdens for a little bit of grass. People work jobs, two jobs, three jobs, always worrying about money, greedy for more and more. And however much you get, the more you need. The illusion of Maya is if you get this much, you will be happy. Like the spider's web. The more you move about in the web, if you're a fly, the more you become entangled in the network of the web. In the same way, the more you try to solve the problems of material life through material arrangements, the more the problems become exaggerated, increased. The more money you have, the more money you need to maintain the money you have. The more you have to worry about, the more you have to protect, and the more facilities you need to protect it. A rich man has to work harder than a poor man just to maintain his riches. In this way, his riches don't serve him, he becomes the servant of his riches. And a poor man is working hard thinking, if I can only become rich, then I will have so many riches to serve me. That is the illusion. In this way, everyone, the rich, the poor, they are all an illusion. We must learn to have eagerness for Krishna. Rupa Goswami says, just like a young man and a young girl are attracted in this world and their minds, they can't stop thinking of each other, in the same way we have to learn to be eager for Krishna. Srila Prabhupada tells a nice story. He tells the story of a professional Bhagavat reciter who was describing the wonderful qualities of Krishna. And there were so many people in the audience. And in public assemblies, all different kinds of people come to hear with all different kinds of motivations. When someone speaks the absolute truth, according to the motivations of the persons listening, that's how much they will benefit. So this Bhagavatam reciter was explaining how Krishna is decorated by beautiful jewels by Mother Yashoda every day. And he was describing how these jewels were made out of pure gold and silver, and there was ornaments made with diamonds and rubies and lapis lazuli and all sorts of emeralds and other precious gems. And there happened to be a thief in the audience. And he was becoming ecstatically enlivened hearing about the jewels on Krishna. Because he was thinking, if I can find Krishna, if I can steal his jewels, overnight I will be a billionaire. So some people in the audience were very happy hearing about how Krishna had so many jewels on him. And the thief was thinking, he was very happy because he was thinking, how I can take the jewels from Krishna. So he was listening, where is this Krishna? And then the speaker began to explain, Vrindavan. So he understood, what does this Krishna look like? And then he heard from the reciter, he has a beautiful complexion, dark like a newly formed monsoon rain cloud, and he has beautiful lotus eyes, and his hair is curly like the tail of a crow's feathers, and he has beautiful lotus feet with pinkish red soles, and his face is more luminous than millions of moons, and his beautiful moon-like face is decorated with a peacock feather. So he was taking careful notes of all the descriptions within his heart. And after he got a full understanding of what Krishna looks like, where he lives, where he could find him, he started going to Vrindavan. And in order to not forget, because he wanted the jewels, he was constantly repeating in his mind Krishna's beautiful form. And in this way, he was so eager to get to Vrindavan. He was so greedy to get to Vrindavan that he was enwrapped in perfect concentration on Krishna the whole time. And ultimately he came to Vrindavan. And he was searching everywhere for Krishna. He was so eager to see Krishna. And then he saw Krishna. And he came to Krishna. And he said, "Krishna," because he knew his name. He said, "I am a thief and I want your jewels. Please give me your jewels." And Krishna said, "But I cannot give you my jewels, because what will my mother Yashoda say if I come home without jewels?" So he became very frustrated. Krishna would not give him jewels. So he was saying, "Please, please, I beg you, give me your jewels." And finally Krishna said, "All right, you can have my jewels." But by that time, this thief was meditating on Krishna so much, begging Krishna for mercy so much, that he became completely purified. And he told Krishna, "I do not want your jewels. They're better on you. I surrender to you. I am your devotee." And in this way, Krishna gave him bhakti, pure devotion. Similarly, the story of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj was the son of Maharaj Uttanapada. And one day his brother Uttama was sitting on the lap of his father on the throne. And Dhruva came to sit on the other side of the lap of his father, upon his legs. And his stepmother, whose name was Suruchi, she was very much protective that her son be given all the rights of the kingdom. So she very harshly chastised Dhruva. "You have no right to sit on your father's lap, because you are not born from my womb." So the king was attached to the stepmother of Dhruva, and he did not want to displease her. So he did not say anything. So Dhruva was very upset. And he went to his mother, and his lips were trembling and tears were flowing from his eyes. He could not even speak. He was in so much humiliation and anxiety. And then the people of the palace told his mother, Suniti. And she began to weep. And she told her son, "I'm sorry. But what your stepmother is saying is true. Your father loves her. He does not love me." So Dhruva said, "I want a kingdom better than my father's. I want a kingdom better than my grandfather's, Swayambhuva Manu and Lord Brahma. How to get it?" And she said, "I have heard that if you please Krishna, he can give you anything. Well, where will I find this Krishna?" Suniti said, "I have heard that great sages go to the forest to find Krishna." "Then I will go." He was only 5 years old, but he had such determination, he had such eagerness to find Krishna, in the mood of a thief. Ultimately, to get power and control and proprietorship over land. And Narada Muni met him in the forest. And Narada Muni saw his determination. And he said, "If you want Krishna, he can give you whatever you want. You should chant this mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya," which was the Maha Mantra in Satya Yuga. And he told Dhruva Maharaj that you should perform tapasya. You should control your senses and your mind and keep your mind always fixed in the name and the form of the Lord. And Dhruva Maharaj performed such incredible tapasya. For months, he only ate the leaves that fell from the trees. And then after that, he would only drink a little water. And after that, he would only breathe a little air every so many weeks, months. And then he stopped even breathing, eating, or sleeping and he was standing on one toe, on one leg, and his mind was completely fixed in the form of the Lord in his heart and in the beautiful sound of his holy name. And the demigods were being suffocated. He actually withdrew the air of the whole universe by his not breathing. So ultimately Lord Krishna, in his form of Narayan, Krishni Garba, appeared before Dhruva Maharaj. And when Dhruva Maharaj saw the beautiful form of Lord Krishna, he bowed down and offered his obeisances of surrender. And what does this five-year-old child know how to speak prayers? He was not even educated in school yet. 5 years means hardly KG. But he had such a desire to offer prayers to this beautiful form of the Lord. So Lord Narayan placed his conch shell on Dhruva's head, and by doing so empowered him to praise the Lord. And Dhruva Maharaj began to praise in such selected verses that even today, millions of years later, we are inspired by and worship his wonderful prayers. Lord Narayan offered Dhruva, "You want the kingdom greater than your father's? I can give it to you on this very day. Anything you like." Dhruva Maharaj said, "I do not want these materialistic treasures. I was looking for the broken pieces of glass of material prosperity, but I have found the rare precious jewel of your darshan. I am completely satisfied. I have no other desires. I am seeing you. I am serving you. I have captured you within the treasure chest of my heart." When one experiences Krishna, one no longer has any aspiration or desire for any selfish interests, because they are all pale, dry in comparison. The great devotee Yamunacharya, he prayed in this way, that previously I was so much addicted to the objects of the senses. But now, my Lord, that I have tasted the sweetness of devotion to you, when I even think of these pleasures, even the greatest pleasures of this world, my lips curl in distaste and I spit at the thought. Dhruva Maharaj was purified by always remembering Krishna. There is a beautiful sloka. Om apavitra pavitro va sarvavastam gato piva yasmaret pundarikaksam sabhayabhyantara suchi. Whether you are pure or impure, if we always remember Krishna, the beautiful lotus-eyed personality of Godhead, we become purified within and without. And the purification that comes through our remembering Krishna is in proportion to the eagerness in which we are remembering him. Transcendental greed, it is called. We have come this evening to hear the message of Harikatha. Maharaj Parikshit is the example of how to hear Harikatha. He didn't just go as a formality. He didn't go simply because it was pious to sit and listen to spiritual subjects. He was so eager to hear. He was willing to give up everything of this world to hear a drop of nectar from Shukadev Goswami. He understood it was a matter of life and death. He had 7 days to live, and he wanted to spend every moment of that 7 days in the ultimate occupation. He asked Sukadeva Goswami at the beginning, what is the ultimate occupation for all humanity and what is the greatest duty of a man about to die? And Sukadeva Goswami explained, to hear and chant the glories of the Lord is the ultimate occupation and the greatest duty of all people, because all people are about to die. Sukadeva Goswami was listening to the words of Maharaj Parikshit, was listening to the words of Sukadeva Goswami with such eagerness, such intensity, that Sukadeva Goswami throughout the Bhagavatam was praising his student. That the questions you are asking are for the ultimate benefit of all humanity, and therefore they are all auspicious and all purifying. And when we chant the holy names of the Lord, we shouldn't just chant as a ritual. Of course, chanting as a ritual is far better than not chanting at all. Hearing as a ritual is far better than not hearing at all. But what gives substance and spirit to a ritual is the eagerness, the intensity, the sincerity, and the desperateness in which we are helplessly calling out for God through the process. Krishna is within our heart, and he reciprocates according to how we approach him. So we must develop this eagerness, this greed for Krishna consciousness. And we should be eager not only to hear and chant the glories of the Lord, but to serve the Lord. Devotional service is something that must come by one's own independent free will. If you are forced to do something, and you do it, certainly that is better than not doing it at all. But it is not an expression of much love. But if we are eager, anxious, longing, trying to find more and more service, that is the expression that we want Krishna. And devotees who are enthusiastic and eager for service, they feel ecstasy in doing devotional service. And devotees who perform their service because they're forced to do so, all they get out of it, very gradual process of purification, no doubt. And they get their service done, somehow or other. Srila Prabhupada told us to chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And the happiness of Krishna consciousness is experienced to the degree by our own free will. We are anxious to hear, anxious to chant, and anxious to serve. And if we do not have that eagerness, we should associate with people who do and learn from them and perform the austerity of acting eager, even if there is no eagerness, just to show Krishna that we want it. This is called tapasya, or austerity. And Krishna is all pure. The fulfillment of our desires can only be when our heart is pure, when our mind is clean. In the polluted state, there are so many diseases, the diseases of lust and anger and envy and pride and greed and illusion. And they are causing so much disturbance and pain from within. Therefore, to cleanse the mind, to purify the mind from these diseases, is the greatest and most important factor in our life. It should come second to nothing else. And as far as our loved ones and our family members, if we actually love them, not the pseudo-materialistic sentiment a false love, but true love, based on knowledge, then we should know the greatest expression of that love is to help our loved ones to become pure as well. Not to simply encourage them to become more incriminated in the karmic laws by inspiring them in more and more materialistic activities, but to teach them, to encourage them, to inspire them to become pure, pure devotees of the Lord. In the story of Dhruva Maharaj, he became completely purified by chanting, hearing, and meditating on the Lord in great enthusiasm. And in his purified state, he told the Lord, "I do not want kingdom, I do not want anything, I am content as I am, simply remembering you and chanting your names." But the Lord told him that you can best serve me by becoming king. So Dhruva Maharaj went back to the kingdom and he got married. He had a nice Krishna conscious devotee wife. And then he had children who he raised in nice Krishna consciousness. And not only that, he taxed the citizens. He mobilized armies to protect the citizens. He protected the Brahmins. He ruled the whole kingdom and did all of the duties of a king and a father and a husband, and a friend, perfectly in society, because he performed all these services in a spirit of devotion, not in a spirit of greed for material things, but in a spirit of greed to please God. So some people have the illusion that if they become pure in heart and they lose desire for material enjoyment, how will they perform their occupational duties? The answer is you will perform your occupational duties to the best capacity that you possibly can, simply because love is a far greater motivating force than selfish greed. And not only that, you will be working for your own ultimate benefit and the benefit of others. Arjuna was asked to fight for Krishna. And he did his duty perfectly. He was also a husband and a father. And he had his occupation. But because he did it with a pure heart, a clean heart, in devotion, he performed his work for his own liberation and the liberation of so many others. So this is the great need in human society. Krishna consciousness. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say, there is only one problem in this whole creation, and that is a lack of Krishna consciousness. And there is only one solution, Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is the natural, original consciousness of all living beings. It is our pure state. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he came to present the culmination and essence of all spiritual truths and how to realize it through the simple formula of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Krishna is non-different than his name. And by chanting Krishna's name sincerely, our heart is clean, gradually purified, and then the ultimate pleasure, the ecstasy of transcendental realization and love is awakened from within our heart. When we are in health, there is happiness. When we are in disease, we are suffering. Spiritually, this whole society is diseased. And Lord Chaitanya came with the medicine. the chanting of the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Thank you very much.